The good news, the gospel lesson for today is from Matthew. Listen to God's word. Son of man and son of God, when Jesus arrived in the village of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about the Son of Man?" They replied, "Well, some think he is John the Baptizer. Some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, and others the prophet." He pressed them, "How about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus came back, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open up any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. And no one on earth is no in heaven." He swore the disciples to secrecy. He made them promise they would tell no one that he was the Messiah. Here ends the good news for us today. I'd like to take just a privilege to step aside from that and tell you about one incident with Jim Olds. I was teaching choral music at the high school that he was the principal of. It was the last day of finals, and all the kids were gone. I had a collection of water guns by the end of the day. So I was walking down the hallway, and out came the door from the teacher's lounge, the bookkeeping teacher's, Rosie. Rosie was very tall. She was funny. She was just great. And so I got the water guns out. There were no kids around. So I started squirting her and running down the hallway. Well, she made a left that took her down to her room. And the physics room was right there. And as I go around the corner, Jim Olds, my principal, walks out. And he had this stance. And he did this. And I was not going to stop. Because if I would have stopped, then that would invite some comment. So I just kept going on and went on by, and he never said anything until when years later, when we were at a reunion, we laughed about it, and he said, "Yeah, you did some crazy things." Well, I kind of grew up, and my crazy things went to more, you know, other things. Let's get back to this. Who do you say Jesus is? There's a couple things. He's either a liar and is telling no truth in whatsoever with every word that he is said to have said somebody else made up. Or he maybe is just a person who organized a cult of people to follow him. Or he is who he says he is, the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is a very wonderful story that challenges all of us. Who is this Jesus? Here's Jesus asking his disciples, "What do people say about me?" It's a fair question. I know pastors who say, "What are they talking about now?" Well, especially after a couple of months there. I had a lady over here, I think I've told you this before, but the first Sunday I was there, she says, "We will give you 6 months, and then I'll tell you what I think of you." Well, thank God I passed. You know, she gets some very kind comments and suggestions. It's a fair question that Jesus asked. I think we've all had those moments we face hard questions or this question, who is this Jesus? I've heard people say, well, this whole book is made up of stories and poetry and people and events and places, and it's made up of so-called miracles, events that are to snare or fool us. The Bible, you know, Pastor, was written by men, and we know how that can work out. There are folks who laugh at Christians for believing such nonsense. Crazy. Years ago, back in Rome and in the Holy Land area, Christians were called cannibals because what do? They eat the body and blood of Christ, and the meal that Christ gave them. Roman critics and Jewish high priests called Christ a false person, and that's why the trail leads to the cross. So when Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Some of them, the disciples said, that you're John the Baptizer. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he gets pointed and then presses them, as I believe he presses each one of us. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, being brave and knowledgeable, said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Remember the title Christ. It's the title for the one sent from God. The Messiah is the title for one who rescues God's people. And Jesus said, Peter, you did a great job. These disciples, by the time they had seen with their own eyes, they had seen miracle after miracle. They had seen fantastic events, raising up some people from the dead. And he spoke words that had touched their hearts. Have you ever had that experience? I remember going to a conference and this lady got up to preach, and it was the most exciting thing I've heard in a long time. And it made me want to be a better preacher. And her words touched our hearts, and the hour and a half went by just like that. Now, I got a few more minutes, so I better keep going. Have you ever in your minds or ears opened to Christ Jesus' words? Maybe the word of a song, words of songs. You know, there was something special, something different. They seem to awaken inside you. John Wesley, as well as many other early Christian leaders, described this awakening. He described it with his time when my heart felt strangely warmed. I'm sure if we've searched the history books of our theologians, of many of our established churches, that they said similar things. I was the choral director at Platteville High School for a number of years. We did the musicals and the choirs and all that stuff. I attended a church that started young people's guitar and new songs. It was during the time that Christians, they sang, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." It was like in that 70s period. Or the song, "It Only Takes a Heart to Get a Fire Burning, Pass It On." The group was quite enthusiastic, and they were good singers also. I remember they had gone to churches in other areas. They went to Minneapolis, and they went to other places on tours. And they took us to a place in Iowa. Well, we went there in the fall, so the corn was down, so you could see the landscape. It wasn't just fields and fields of corn. And I remember at this retreat place, we had, instead of a fire in the fireplace, we had candle fires. So in the middle of the room was a circle or a cross in a candle. And we studied the Bible. Leaders spoke. The one leader was the cool guitar player. He knew all the songs and the chords. And, you know, it wasn't rock and roll or anything like that. It was just some nice, singable stuff that you could remember. And the fire that night lit that room. And the room was dark, but the fire bounced off of faces. That's, remember what it's like at Christmas time when we turn the lights off and you can look around and there's a glow in the room. I remember the words that night. If you haven't asked Christ Jesus to come into your heart, ask him tonight. Now, believe me, this phrase had always bothered me because I didn't believe there was a God or Jesus at all. That's where I came from. I taught Sunday school. I directed the youth choir and directed the senior choir, but I didn't believe any of it. We were just singing. So here's what I had to do. I mean, you had to direct the choir because that's what the community expected of the high school choir director. During the time on TV, I remember watching my grandparents' TV because we went there for Sunday afternoon activities and nobody else had a TV except they did. And there were preachers on there that were just rambunctious. And my folks, I don't know why, but they took me to a tent meeting that was inside at Lancaster, Wisconsin. The music was loud. The preacher got up, and he just cranked people up. The emotions rang high. Now, I was a choir director, and I knew what music could do if you use the emotional ties and taught the kids to sing what we're saying. And the emotions were high. People were clapping, praising God. Now, this didn't happen in my church, the Lutheran church that I was attending. There was shouting, praise God, praise. Today, I get the heebie-jeebies when I go to a church and somebody does that. I guess I'm just born that way. Give yourself to God. Truthfully, it scared the bejeebies out of me. I wasn't used to that. And it would seem to be a little bit, I had a hard time with it because it was using emotions to push people into, or fear. If you don't believe in God, you're going to hell. Well, I mean, that was said several times. That night, as I was alone, I walked to the cabin. And honest to God, this is what I did. Forgive me, Lord. But it worked out. I walked in and I walked to the cabin all alone. And I said, God, I defy you to come into my life. And I remember before I went inside, I raised my hand in a one-finger salute saying, I defy you. So this was pretty serious. You know, I wouldn't do that now for anything, but because I'd fear that lightning would strike and I'd be, you know, a little pile of ashes. Or a bigger pile of ashes, I guess. I went to sleep with those words on my heart, I defy you. I woke up. I didn't feel any different. It was the same old, there's no God. What are we doing here? I said the words again, I dare you. Here's what happened After breakfast, I remember I was cleaning the iron skillets with salt and water before we all gathered in the big room and closed our day out at noon. And I was scrubbing the salt, using the salt to clean the iron skillet. I had about four of them because there was a pretty big group there. And I didn't think anything else of it. And then they got us into different groups. And you know what I got? I didn't get the cool college professors group. I got this young college girl. I could hardly hear her. That was before hearing aids. I could hardly hear her from across the table. And we went into Romans and we took this one chapter and we read it and she asked a question. And then we would read a section again. She would ask another question. And then we'd read it again. I think we read that small section at least 7-8 times. She was very soft, asking her questions. There was quiet within the interaction of the group. Slowly, in a very quiet way, somehow, as I read the words, it was the words, not her words, not the questions, but her words that came more alive to me than I ever felt. It wasn't emotional. It wasn't guilt-ridden time. But I did feel the presence that there was something different. And it was coming from the words that were reading to ourselves. After the Bible study was done, I just kind of sat there and then we moved into the circle, lit the fire candles in the middle, and the singer said, you know, he had heard the story that in early Christians, they sometimes said it was like a raspberry ripening, slowly and surely. As the raspberry ripened, the Christian attitude, God's presence was known. And so we were in the circle, standing. And what it came, he said, let's go around the room and, you know, grab hands. And if you don't want to talk, just squeeze the hand on your right and they'll take over. Well, it came to my turn. And in the quiet of the room, I said these words. I think I'm a tad pink this morning. That's all I said. I did somehow feel that somewhere there was something that I had never experienced in the quiet, non-emotional appeal. And I said, yes, God, come into my life. I sure need you. You see, I had gone to church all my life. And I sat in the back of the church, and then my folks, if I turned around, looked at the people back, why, Mom would straighten me out. Well, it was a very strict thing, you know. But I never took it serious. Lord Jesus, come dwell in our hearts as you trust, as we trust you more each day. I don't know where you're at in your journey. Maybe you're a pink raspberry, maybe you're a, what's before pink? Green, I suppose. Green raspberry. Or maybe you've had a long experience of life of believing that, by golly, there is a God, there is a Jesus, and he has helped us and will help us. Maybe you can experience that quietness this day. Just ask him. Lord Jesus, come and dwell in our hearts as we trust you more each day. Amen. I think it's the time for our benediction, isn't it? Isn't that next? That's next. All right. My friends, we are about to go back into our homes, our communities. Your home has changed a little different. All summer long, we went to the camper, and we had we bunkered down there. Well, the camper's closed, so now we're bunkering down in the house. And I've got a list of 22 things that I've got to get done before 1 o'clock. No, but please take care of yourselves. Be careful. Don't go skydiving this time of year. It doesn't work. May God go with you in your heart. May God comfort those who cry for lost family and friends. Help us to be kind, encouraging to others. May God bless each one of you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May the gift of Christ Jesus know your love. Go now as the people of God in your neighborhood and even in the world. May peace be yours and hope and courage. Amen.